Fantastic singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I love coming to church. We just praise the Lord for what He's doing around here. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And I've got several places this morning I'm going to read. This is just something that's been on my heart for a little while. And trying to seek God's mind on this service this morning. This continued to just come back time and time again. I'm going to preach this morning on this subject, the family of God. But I want to read this verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And this is the verse of Scripture that just keeps coming back to my heart and my mind when I think about this church. When I think about the people in this church, when I think about the workers in this church, when I think about the way that people serve in this church. Now, I don't know if you've noticed. If you hadn't, you need to look at it. We've got a completely remodeled nursery this Sunday since last Sunday. Amen. You know, our music director, our worship leader, I mean, a lot of different titles you can give to Brother Keith, but he is, one thing he is a very talented carpenter. Amen. You know, for most of you, you know that Brother Keith actually built this pulpit and he built this table here in front of us. And obviously he did a fantastic job on it, but I had announced that we wanted to remodel our nursery. And I figured it would take, you know, a month. But we got in there and we started having some discussions, and Brother Keith had some fantastic ideas, and some of the things that he did really allowed us to open the nursery up and get more room. And then we, of course, did some things over here that took the copier out of a Sunday school room to give a little more privacy, put a little office in there. But you know, this week we had Brother Keith up here, and we had Mr. Davis, Brother Keith's dad, was up here, and we had Mike Bailey up here, we had Preston up here, and then Saturday we had a whole group up here. You know, Scotty D was up here. Of course, Brother Tommy, he was up here. He didn't do a whole lot, but he was our mascot, you know. Got a little lavender paint in his hair. Had to wash that out. Brother Perry did the electrical work. And, of course, there was a lot of cleaning. But, you know, this verse is what comes to mind when I think about this church. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." And when I think about this church and I look at all the ministries that this church is involved in, I look at the fact right now that over in Children's Church, you know, last Sunday we had 40 kids out there in Children's Church. Okay? Now over here, this is our youth, okay? This is not Children's Church. The nursery is not Children's Church. We've got a nursery back here that has a group of children in it. Over here, we have, in the trailer, we have Children's Church that meets every Sunday. Of course, we have youth, and we have a youth service here, you know, a formal service in here, the first and the third, and then we have a youth service every Wednesday night. You know, we have a sound and a video team that's up here every Sunday, serving faithfully, making sure this stuff is up on the board, and they're recording it, and they're putting it on the website, and sometimes it goes out on Facebook, and it's work. And, you know, we have Awana starting tonight, and we're going to start here about 5:30. Now, tonight is Awana kickoff, and I want to say this as an announcement, by the way. We're going to have hot dogs grilled. We're going to have all kind of stuff to eat. We're going to have a good time. And, you know, starting next Sunday night, we're going to have a Bible study. Tonight, we're just going to have fun, okay? But we're going to have a Bible study next Wednesday night. And when I think about all these things, I think about the deacons. And then I got this right here. Y'all seen this? Y'all had people come up to you. Hey, you want to do so-and-so? You know how many people it takes? When I look at this, I think, Lord of mercy, this must be a Baptist church. We got a committee for everything. And then we have Celebrate Recovery on Monday night. And we have people that get up here, and they get up here early, and they cook, and they provide food. And I want to tell you something, folks. We have a budget in this church, but there's a whole lot of money that's given to this church outside of the budget. There's a whole lot of money that's given to where people just take and pull money out of their pocket and they buy food or they help somebody. And well, I don't know if you've ever realized how much Celebrate Recovery does, but they pay the first $500 for a person to be able to go and to get help. Now, how many approximately, Brother Tom, have we done since we've been involved in Celebrate Recovery?
Over the past, probably about
500. 500. Wow. 500 times $500. And a lot of times that's something that just somebody pays. Now, go back to this verse. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget. And here's what I want you to understand. Everything that you do for God, God remembers it. Everything that you do for God, it brings honor and glory to Him. And He gets the praise for it. But I want to tell you what it's doing. It's helping somebody's life. Everything you do for God, it matters. It matters. There's a whole lot of things we can do in life that when we get to the end of our life, we can look back and we can say we've done it, but it's not going to really matter.
That's right.
And I'm getting to the point in my life, it seems like the older I get, it seems like the more that God begins to deal with me about that, because I'm looking ahead, and if I just look at the calendar, I don't know how much more time I'm going to have. And it's important that I do the best that I can for the honor and glory of God, because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. But I'll tell you something, church. God's doing something here.
Amen.
And He's doing something here because you have people, as it was in the days of Nehemiah, who have a mind to work. You know, they got up there and they looked at that wall and they said, well, this is a lot of work. But they started working together. And because the people had a mind to work, the wall came together. Yeah. Now, folks, it takes everybody. Yeah. And I want to get to that. That's the first thing I want to talk about in regards to the family of God is this, that everybody is important. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, I can't do what so-and-so does. Well, maybe you're not supposed to. You know, I want to tell you this, and I sit here this morning in this church, and I'm thinking before I get up to preach, folks, it is an honor and a privilege to me to be able to preach in this church.
Amen.
And I want you to understand something. Preachers that are called to preach that love the Word, they want to preach. And there's been times I've said in church, when I wasn't pastoring, maybe I was teaching Sunday school, and you know, we'd have the kind of singing that we have this morning. And I'd just be itching and saying, boy, I wish I could preach. Oh, I wish I could get up there. Folks, it's an honor. It's an honor for me to be able to be here and to serve with you. Now, what do you mean? Sometimes people say, well, he's the pastor. Let me tell you something. The pastor ought to be the ultimate servant in the church. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, you can't approach the pastor directly. What do you mean? What's that about? No, he went into his study. We can't knock on the door. Well, maybe you need to go somewhere else.
Amen.
When you do something for the Lord, it's not about you. I remember one time I was at a little church and they needed a pastor. And we had a guy visiting there and he was a preacher. And he thought they were going to ask him. He spread word around the town. He said, I got me a church. They didn't even ask him to pastor, and they didn't. But that was the mindset that he had, is he had something. He was going to do something. It was going to be his. If you're doing something for God, it's not yours. It's not about you. It's about him. And maybe the reason God's not blessing it, it's not moving it, is you've forgotten who it belongs to. It's about the Lord. I want to read this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. It's about the members of the body. And I just want to read a few verses. And I'll try to read through this, and I want you to read it with me and think about it. They'll put it up on the board. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye and not the body, is it not therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, then where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable upon these bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need but that God tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That therefore there should be no schism or division in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, I know that's a lot of reading, but I want you to hear that. And I want to say it for a purpose this morning. Here's what I want you to understand about the body. It takes everybody. I don't want anybody to think because I'm not a preacher, because I'm not a deacon, because I'm not a leader, that I'm not important. You're important in the house of God. Everybody's required, everybody is important, and everybody is a part of the body. Now, he went back and he spoke just a minute and he talked about the Jews. He talked about the Gentiles. He talked about those that were bond and those that were free. You know, there was some division in the early church because the Jews could say, well, we're Jews. We're the chosen people of God. But I want to tell you, thank God for the grace coming to the Gentiles, amen? Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ saying, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Thank God that he reached down from heaven and he reached farther than I could reach up. And you don't have to be good. All you have to be is believe. Amen. You see, some people, they've got it in their mind, when I'm good enough, I'm going to come. You don't do that. You'll never be good enough. It's because of what he did. Not what we did. So all the parts of the body are very, very important. You know, sometimes the problem you have in the body, and I've seen this, and it was even occurred in Jesus' disciples. You see, they were traveling down the road, and you find this story in Mark chapter 9, and I want to read the 33rd to the 35th verse. And as they walked, there began to be a dispute among themselves about who was going to be the greatest. You know, I've seen Christian people act this way. They try to compare themselves with other people. I remember one time I was at a church and they were announcing that there was going to be a visiting preacher coming. And the pastor, or the assistant pastor, actually got up in the pulpit and he made a comment about him coming, but then he proceeded to cut the man down before he ever even come. And he said this. He said, well, I went and heard him preach, and he did this with his hand. He said he preached some little old something. And he's going to be here, and y'all pray for him when he comes. In other words, like, we just got to have him here. You know, we've done invited him. And I thought, who does he think that he is? You know, if we're going to do anything for the honor and glory of God, it's a privilege for him to even allow us to be able to do it. I'm nothing, and I would not be anything without Christ. Look at what Jesus said about his disciples. He said, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed about yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be greatest. Could you imagine standing before the Lord and he said, now what were y'all talking about? And you know that he knows, but you don't want to say that he knows. Now some of you youngins over here, we've all been guilty of that. And here's Jesus. He knows what was in their heart. It was pride. It was arrogance. And they didn't want to tell him because they've already been convicted. Yeah. Says, and he sat down and he called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. You know, there are a lot of people, they've already got their mansion picked out in heaven. They've got a picture of it in their mind, and they think it's going to be right next door to Jesus. Even Peter's going to have to move over to let them in. You know, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people that you and I have never seen their name in lights. They've never been told on the radio or the television about their name and their preaching. But there's some of them that you grew up with, the men of God that were a blessing in your life. They didn't get any honor down here, but when they stand before God, they're going to get their rewards. Because all rewards should be pointed to him. We should be prepared to lay our crowns down at his feet. Amen. See, it's not what we know, it's what God knows. And what our job should be and what we should do is to fear God and honor God. And what you do it for God. You know, we thank the Lord that we work here together. But let's just be honest, we're just human beings. I'm in the flesh. I was here working yesterday, and I was in the foyer, and I got down to wipe something off, and as I climbed back up, I had to climb.
Come on.
I didn't spring to my feet like y'all do. I got a hold of it, and I pulled myself up. Preston laughed at me. He said, "You look like me trying to get up." You know, a lot of times what we do, we'll do it as long as somebody's patting us on the back. As long as we're getting the credit. I even heard a guy one time, there's a church that, you know, they were building and they needed some funds. And, you know, all churches need funds, by the way. Y'all got any money? We got a place for it to go.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said that they needed some funds, and the guy came forward and he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll pay the building off. I'll finish what you got started." He said, "Here's all I ask." He said, "I want a plaque," and he told him how big it was. He said, "I want the plaque to be put right here, and I want it to have my name on it, and I want it to be that I gave the money." I want to tell you something. When you do something for God, you should do it quietly. You should do it for His honor and glory. If you do it about yourself, and it's just because you're lifted up, are you really doing it for Him? You see, all the honor and the glory, it goes to God. And sometimes when we're not seemingly appreciated, or maybe we're not patted on the back, maybe we ought to remember that it's about Him. It's not about us. See, give God the glory. We can't give it to ourselves. You see, sometimes when we look at things down here, it doesn't look right to us. I heard a preacher, and some of you may know his name, Junior Hill. He was preaching at a meeting, and he was talking about how that sometimes we place importance on big things when God is looking at little things. Think about all the parts of the body, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute. He said, but he was up. How many of you ever been to Biltmore Estates? I went to that thing with my wife, and I think it was our 25th anniversary. And we went up there, and we stayed at a place, and we went over to Biltmore, and it was me and her, and of course Luke was with us, and we went up there, and I looked at the countryside. It was beautiful, and there was a big old orchard there. It was beautiful. We got in this house, I don't know how many rooms, 60-something. By room number 42, I was looking for a window to jump out of, because I was about to go crazy. Me and Luke were ready to get back over and look at them fish swimming under that dock. I mean, but I heard Junior Hill, he was talking about the Biltmore Estates. He said, I went there and I looked at this and I saw it in all of its grandeur. And here's what I want you to understand, folks. It was ahead of its time. It had an indoor pool. It had the bowling alley. It had a refrigerator before there was any such thing. They had indoor plumbing before most people in the country even knew it existed. He said, and I looked at it and I thought about it. And he said, you know, even all the world has today, I want you to understand it's nothing to compare to what God has for you. He said, but I left the Biltmore Estates and drove right down through Asheville. And I went up to an old shed. It was just a shed like a barn. And I went up and I peeked in the window. And there was an old wash tub. And there was old part of a bicycle. And there were some old metal parts. And he said, it was the birthplace of Vance Havner, who was a great preacher. He said, as I looked at it and I thought about it and I thought about the Biltmore and I thought about the wealth of this world and I thought about how great a man of God that this was, how he preached the gospel, and yet nobody came to visit his place. Right. Yet his home and his birthplace was lying in ruin. He said, I thought of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that think they're going to stand before the Lord and they're going to stick their chest out and say, give me my reward. God's going to say, get over there and clean the toilet. And there's some that you and I may think, what have they done? But I want to tell you, that man and that woman and that Sunday school teacher, do you remember them when you were a kid that were just there every Sunday? They just loved God and they just were patient. I can remember being a kid in Sunday school and turning paint over. I can remember how the teachers responded to me. I can remember Sunday school lessons. And those faithful servants of God are going to stand before the Lord and they shall receive their reward. Because God said that then shall every man have praise of God. You see, we got to be careful where we place ourselves. Because when we begin to think that we are something, then we are nothing. You see, he told these disciples, he said, if any man desire to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. You see, in the kingdom of God, every part is important. And you've heard the saying, no big eyes and no little U's. You see, why would I possibly think that I would be more important or better than anybody else? Anybody. Because if I have talent, God gave it to me. If I have strength, it's because God gave it to me. If I have breath in my lungs, it is because God gave it to me. If I have the ability to think, it's because God gave it to me. I tell my boys this. I said, you know, boys, y'all are fine young men, but, you know, y'all could have been born ugly girls. Now, I want you to stop and think about it just a minute. Did any of you have any control over that? I didn't have any control over it. My job here on this earth is to honor God and serve Him with what He's given. If I have talent, it came from God. I didn't choose it. I've seen kids sit down at the piano and they begin to play and it's almost like they don't need lessons. Where's that come from? That's talent that's given by God. Amen. It's very important that we understand who God is. You see, in the body, every part supports another part. Have you ever heard the term one-arm paper hanger? You ever told anybody that? How you doing? I'm busier than a one-arm paper hanger. Okay? When you're trying to serve God by yourself, that's about the way it is. I don't know if you've ever hung sheetrock, but if you ever hang sheetrock over your head, you need help. And when we were in here doing this work, and I just did a little part of it, I mean, all the real work was already done by the time I got here. I did very little. But there are jobs that it takes two people. There are jobs that it takes three people. And sometimes, folks, there are jobs that it takes an army. Have you ever heard the term, many hands make light work? That's why when you come together and you're doing work and you're serving together, every part supports another part. And I recently was at a hospital visiting someone and they were telling me about the body. And as I sat there and I watched and I saw a hand begin to move. And I said, that's good considering the accident, the hand can move. And I begin to be educated in what physical therapy and the things that happen to the body when the body's damaged. They said, you know, when you're working on the body and you're trying to get a damaged body to be able to recuperate, you have to begin at the very core. You go to the very beginning and you take the core, and the core itself must begin to build strength. And the spine must begin to remember and function as it was. He said, because if I could move my hand and I could just look at it, but I couldn't reach up and feed myself because my arm wasn't working. Or if my shoulder did not rotate and I could pick up my arm. That's why the very middle has to work from the inside out. That's why we think about our hand and how powerful it is. But having a strong hand would do you no good without an arm, without a shoulder, without a back, without a spine, without the rest of your body working. I seldom think about my feet till I stand up on them and they hurt. You know, there are diseases, there actually, I don't know the medical term for it, I didn't know I was going to be talking about it today, but you can actually injure your foot, but you don't feel it. There have been times when a person would step on a nail, and they wouldn't know that they stepped on the nail until it had decayed, until the decay of the foot had begun to affect the rest of the body. So every time I stand up and my feet hurt, I thank God for pain. You say, I don't know if I'm going to thank God for that. Maybe you should. Right. Because if you didn't have pain, you wouldn't have feeling, which would lead to something worse. You see, sometimes we take the parts of the body and we take them for granted. And sometimes this is the way it is in church, folks. If somebody's taking care of your kids in Sunday school, thank them. Yeah. If somebody's preparing a snack for them at Awana or at Bible school, thank them. And if you're doing something, here I want to tell you, I thank you. But let me tell you, God's going to reward you. God's going to reward you. You see, because in this church, for it to go forward for the honor and glory of God, for us to be able to see souls saved, all parts must work together. All parts. Every part. You see, a couple of characteristics and traits I want to tell you about the family of God. The family of God, sometimes the family of God is closer than your own natural family. Sometimes your own natural family can be distant, or it can be torn, or it can be distorted. Sometimes it's good, but I think that it's common, because the natural family, sometimes, although you say, well, there's blood. Well, I'll talk about the blood a little bit in just a minute. But sometimes the natural family doesn't necessarily have the same mind. But when we come together in the church, we're identified by a common trait. A common trait in that the children of God, the family of God, are all children of the same Father. It says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him, male and female created he them, and he blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created." So I believe, like the Bible teaches, that from one man and one woman, God created. And he created, and therefore that blood that flows in their veins, every person in this house is a descendant of them. That's what I believe. Now I also believe what the Bible teaches, that although he's our Heavenly Father and he's our Creator, you got to accept him for yourself. You see, just because he loves you doesn't mean that you love him. Just because he cares for you doesn't mean that you accept him, because there are people who drive past this church every Sunday. They look at the parking lot and they say, "Look at all them crazy people. Oh, they believe this, they believe that." But I want to tell you, Scripture says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we are all the children of the Father. Even the world out there that denies him, they're created by God in the image of God. The question, do they want to be with God? You see, we're identified by a common trait. We're created by God, and it doesn't work this way. Sometimes people say, "Well, I wasn't created, I evolved." No, you were created, you just don't accept it. By God, for the purpose of God, in the image of God. See, what about the blood? We all have the same blood. One blood. Now, I know there are different types of blood, but I'm talking about in creation itself, in God's divine plan. I don't understand everything, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, says, "And hath made God made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." One blood. It was one blood that God said he created Adam, and from there all the generations of the earth. He said, "Go forth, be fruitful and multiply." And it's one blood that was shed on a cross for you and I, so that we might have life. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." One blood. So, while sometimes you think, "Well, it's not my natural family." Well, it really is. But I'll tell you something greater. It's your spiritual family. You see, because when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and, you know, sometimes people believe there's different kind of Christians. You know, there's Christians that, quote, believe in God. But then they get radical and they say, "Oh, you one of them born again Christians." Well, I didn't know there was any other kind.
Right. That's right.
See, because I got saved by the grace of God, and when I was saved, I became quickened by the Holy Spirit, and I was made alive spiritually. That's why the Scripture teaches us that His Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we're the children of God. That's why you can go somewhere to a different state, and I like this. I like when this happens. How many times you ever been off somewhere, and I can remember the last time I went up to the Singing on the Mountains to hear the Primitive Quartet. And I'm out there, and this guy gets up on the stage to announce them, and it's one of them's pastor, and the Holy Spirit was moving in that place, and he started announcing, and it was all he could do to keep from preaching. He knew that it wasn't his time or it wasn't his hour, but I've already told you that when a preacher's around the Spirit, they want to preach. He got up there, and he got to, boop, boop. I said, he's going to have to quit, or he ain't going to be able to quit. But as he began to announce, and I was sitting there, and I talked to the people beside me, and I looked over here. You know what I felt like? I felt like I was sitting right in the middle of a family reunion of people that I love, of people that I've known all my life. That's why when we meet one another as Christians, it don't take us 10 years to love one another. We're part of the same family. We're part of the family of God. So what do another characteristic of the family of God? They're identified by a common trait. They also demonstrate the characteristics of their father. Now think about this. What are the characteristics of the father? One is love. Now when we talk about love, sometimes, you know, you people get confused. Because people say, well, I love pizza. I'm not talking about that kind of love. Everybody knows that kind of love. It's agape love. What is agape love? Here's what it is, basically. It's not what you feel. It's what you do. You see, you can be married for 25 years, and it's not going to be that giddy love you had when you was a teenager that holds you together. It's going to be agape love. Agape love causes you to wish well for or do for. It's not what you feel. It's what you do. And if we could get a hold of that, and I want to tell you something, folks, the Christians in America have had an impact on the world. I sometimes get upset when people talk about America and all they got to say is something negative. I know there's bad things out there, but America has sent missionaries all over the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the prayers of the saints today that are holding this nation together. See, it's love. It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. You know, there are places you can go in the world and you're guilty of some of the crimes that people are guilty of here. There's no mercy whatsoever. I know sometimes we say, well, there needs to be a greater penalty. Well, thank God for mercy. Where would I be without it? You see, God has given us forgiveness. As God forgave us, so we forgive others. What about being supportive? I want to tell you something that I see, and I see it, I feel it, and I see it in this church. It's when you bear one another's burdens. See, thank God for those characteristics of the Father. What about virtues? I believe with all my heart that knowing Christ will make a difference. You see, because they're different, because they've been with Jesus. You know, sometimes, even, and I see this, and I see Christians doing this, and the children, our youth, and they got these bracelets. What would Jesus do? When we demonstrate the characteristics of the Father, have you ever thought about this? And I'm just going to be very honest with you. This scares me. If I were to spend the rest of this day, just this day, in every decision that I make, I solemnly pray and say, God, let me do what you would do. And then you say, I'm going to do it for a week. Every decision, every circumstance, Lord, this week, I'm going to do what you would do. I want to tell you, folks, you've already changed the world. The more we act like Jesus, the more impact we're going to have. See, Christians have made the world a better place. Christians are also held together by a common bond. We believe in Jesus. See, we believe that Jesus saves. We believe that Jesus can make a difference. That's why we come together on Sunday. That's why we, as the early church did, they met the first day of the week very early in the morning, and they came together and they would worship. That's why we continue to do what we're doing. That's why we have Awana. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have youth group. That's why we have Sunday school for all ages. And we have worship. That's why we have outreach. That's why we have Celebrate Recovery. Because we believe Jesus. To the extent, the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, and I like this verse, because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, big S, of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, here's what that means, and I know sometimes when people haven't experienced this in their lives, it makes it difficult to understand. But when you look at God, it's not some ruling authority with a big stick that's waiting to hurt you. But He is your intimate Heavenly Father. And the word Abba can be translated like this, as daddy. You see, a daddy that is a daddy to his children and loves them, it don't matter how old they are, it doesn't matter how big they are, that daughter's never afraid to go and get right beside dad and let him put his arm around her. He's never in a position that no matter what they go through, and I want to tell you what I've told my boys. I got a 17-year-old and a 12, y'all know that. I got a 26-year-old daughter. She's 10 and a half hours away. But if she called me with the right problem, you know what I'd do? I'd get in that car and I'd try to outrun every state patrol between here and there. Getting up there so I could help her. I tell my boys, you know, sometimes things happen in life that we don't like. I've heard stories and see people get in trouble, and because they're afraid they have no one to call, it makes it worse. Sometimes you just have to face stuff. I said, if you're ever in trouble, if you ever find yourself in a bad situation, if you ever do something wrong you shouldn't do, if you ever get in a situation that you need me, you call me first. I said, I promise you I will come. Now, they know that I have expectations. They know that I'm strict. But they know that I love them. And I want to tell you, no matter what they face, no matter what they do, I am their dad and I love them. I'm going to go. I want you to understand something about Abba Father. If you belong to God, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you go. You'll never get outside of His love. And you can cry out to Him, Abba Father, and He will come running to you. It's like the story of the man with the prodigal son. That boy left. That dad knew he had to let him go. But every morning, you know what he was doing? He was on that porch. He prayed. I believe he was praying. But every day he was looking for that boy to come home. Now some of you I know have children, have loved ones that are out there. And you're looking for them. I want to tell you what the family of God does. We look for them together. When you come down here and you cry out to God and you lay your burdens on this altar, I tell you what's going to happen. People that love you, the family of God, going to line up beside you. They're not going to stop praying for you. They're not going to stop caring for you. They're not going to stop reaching out on your behalf. And when they come through the door, and folks, can we not say we've seen them come through the door? Can we not see we've seen prayers answered in this church? You know what we're going to do? We're going to rejoice together because another son has come home. We're held together by a common bond. We have an Abba Father that loves us no matter what we face. They don't want to give you this last one. We have a common future. Heard a story of a preacher. True story. He told me this. Said he's on an airplane. You know how it is. I'm one of those people, you get on an airplane beside me, I pray. I say, God, I want somebody beside me that's quiet. Sometimes the Lord's got a sense of humor. He says, you need, this is what God's done to me. You need to witness them. Preacher said he was on the airplane. The person beside him was talkative. And he said, they asked, what do you do? He said, well, I'm in the people business. So I help people. I just work with people all the time. They were getting interested, you know. He said, let me tell you. He said, well, how are the benefits? He said, well, the retirement plan is out of this world. Now, finally, he told him, I'm a preacher. Oh, but can I tell you, folks, we got a common future. The retirement plan is out of this world. Now, sometimes we might be like Vance Havner, and all we got is just a little shack that we leave down here. But we got something waiting for us over there. It's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But listen to this part. This is for you, and it's for me. It says, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know what? We're part of the same family as Paul and Timothy. And the same reward that they got for serving, we're going to get that. And the fullness of it, they will not receive until we get there. Now, folks, I got loved ones on the other side, and you do too. And they're over there, they're in the paradise of God, they're rejoicing. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But some things they're just not going to be able to take part of to where all they're together. And like I told my mother, she had a birthday, I said, I'm almost old as you now. It's not the same as it was when you was rocking me. And I cut my hair for the hurricane. I didn't want to mess it up. Y'all see that. You see, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. There's laid up a crown for me. And I'm going to receive it. It's not just for me. It's for all you. Okay? But listen to what Jesus said, and then I'm going to be done. I love this scripture. It's common in John chapter number 14. He said this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, we're held together by a common bond. We believe. We believe. We believe what this Bible says. And our future as the family of God is to forever be with our Lord. Forever. You see? Now, as they get ready with a song, I want you to think about this. If a person could buy salvation, there'd be a whole lot more people signed up. But you don't have to. All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to be a part of that family. God, I want to be a part of that family. God, I want to know for sure that when I die, I'm going to go be with the Lord. I want to know. You see, sometimes people begin to think about it as they get older, they have problems. What about thinking about it so you'll know how to live your life today? See, God's got a plan for you right now. And he wants you to be a functioning part of the body. And you say, well, I can never do anything in church because of, and the devil's telling you right now. Let me tell you something. Every Sunday I come in here and I sit right there this morning. I say, God, I'm not worthy to get up in this church to preach to these people. Look at how your spirit's moving. But can I tell you, it's not about me. It's about him. And maybe when we sit back and we say, I've done too much bad that I can't serve God, maybe we could classify that in the same category as arrogance. It's not about you. Amen. It's about him. Amen. And maybe we could just let him have his way in our life and say, Lord, it's like that little boy. He said, all I got is 2 fish and 5 loaves. God said, that's all I need. That's all I need. So she sings this song. If God spoke to you and you'd like to be a part of the family of God, if you'll come forward, someone will meet you and pray with you and help you understand how to do it. And if you're here this morning and you like that man that had the prodigal son, and you're looking, things ain't right, let me tell you something. Let your family help you. Let your family help you this morning. Would you stand to your feet as she sings? And if God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, this is your opportunity.